This week on the award-winning Hollywood Outsider podcast, we have a news roundup, our first look at Disney Plus, reviews of Last Christmas, or should I say Last Christmas, and QT8, the first eight. And our topic this week is our holiday movie preview. Let's get on with the show. My name is Aaron Peterson. Joining me today, my fellow host, John Davenport.
Hey, Aaron. How are you doing today?
Wonderful. Amanda Sink.
Hello, hello.
Hello, all. We're getting pretty close to the end of the year. Are you guys excited to get to the holidays, or are you a little sad that the holidays are already here?
I'm totally ready for the holidays. It's that time of year for everything to kind of slow down, everyone to be a little bit happier, a little bit better to each other. I'm all for it.
I'm excited. And also, I'm ready to eat some Thanksgiving food and then put up some Christmas decorations. Apparently, you can't do it before Thanksgiving. So,
Who says that?
Yeah, who says that? A lot of people do.
Everyone.
No.
Everyone. They're monsters.
Yeah. A lot of people put this up like as soon as Halloween's over.
No, that's too close.
Sounds
that's
like something close. You say.
And no. That's what I'm
everyone.
Told.
That's also people I care about.
Is it too extra if I put a little, six-foot Christmas tree in my office at work to celebrate that?
Seems extreme.
In your own office? Like your cubicle. Like your cubicle has a six-foot Christmas tree in it.
My own office with the tree, like in the corner, probably. Is that too extra?
Are you asking because you've already done it, or are you asking because you're considering it?
Asking because I'm genuinely considering it, like having one tree at home and one tree at work.
Feels extreme.
Okay.
It feels like a bit much. Like a 6-foot one at work, that feels like 3-foot, that feels all right.
Yeah.
Still going to do it.
It's what it sounds like. Well, let's move on to stuff people really care about. So a happy 50th birthday, Sesame Street. I thought it should be noted. They turned 50.
Oh.
Nobody seems as excited about that as I was. So how about this? We had like four trailers drop. We had the new Scooby-Doo CGI, all Scoob. We had Fantasy Island, which is apparently they're taking the beloved TV show and making it a horror movie. Like all these fantasies that are coming true are scary. The Invisible Man, which now the Invisible Man is a stalker, which reminds me of Hollow Man, just with a different title. And they finally released the trailer for Sonic the Hedgehog with the newly redesigned Sonic. Any of those, like, I just want, because those were four really interesting trailers that came out recently. Anybody get taken by those?
I was really happy with how Sonic came out. I was a big fan. I'm a big fan of that video game series because it was one of my favorite series on the Sega for sure. And even on the Dreamcast, I really enjoyed it. So when Sonic came out and he was actually looking more like, I don't know, not so scary and a lot more cartoonish, but it's still grounded. I was really happy to see that.
He does look a lot better. A lot of improvement. He looks very similar to the video game character, so I'm happy about that.
Less terrifying.
I'm excited. Less terrifying. Yeah. Less teeth. Yeah. I'm excited about Fantasy Island.
Yeah, that looks really cool, doesn't it? I mean, yeah. They're going to make a horror movie out of that, and they've got Michael Pena playing Montalban's role. I just thought that was fascinating.
They also have Ryan Hansen in there, and he's kind of an underrated comedic actor where he's just, I don't know, he has a lot of charisma to him, so I'm excited to see him in this sort of atmosphere. I'm curious about that, but the movie overall looks good.
I like when you take some, if you're going to remake it, just do it different. Do something unique with it, and that's at least trying a different spin than I ever expected from Fantasy Island. I thought for sure it would be like, oh, great, some people are in love again.
Right.
Nope. If they are, they're going to murder them. So now I'm interested.
Yeah, it looks really cool. That was one of those things I was really excited for, too, because like just the cast of it looks great and how they're pulling it off. And like when you're first watching the trailer, you're like, wow, this really does feel exactly like the show, only there's no midget going, the plane, boss, the plane.
Which I was disappointed about, to be honest. I love that part of it. Like, that was one of my favorite parts. That's literally the most memorable thing about the entire show. Look, boss, the plane. It was sad that he's not part of that. You never know. Maybe he'll pop up.
You like a little breather?
Yeah. A little what?
A little breather.
I don't know what that means.
In an airplane, there's a scene when one of the stewardesses go, man, I could use a little breather. And then Hervé comes out and he stands right next to her right. And he starts breathing really deeply.
That's right. Now I remember that. Well timed. All right. So here's a news roundup. We got some news that did come out here. It's nothing really excessive this week because we want to get to Disney Plus. But America is no longer the number one king at the box office as Asia has officially taken over. I've been saying it for years. China is winning. It's official. They're winning. Also, a lot of reboots and sequels are underway. Here's what I've heard of. I'm sure there's more. ABC's Revenge is getting retold with a Latina lead. Scream's getting a reboot. Zorro retold in a modern setting with a female lead. Kung Fu is getting retold with a female lead. Paranormal Activity is getting a new movie. Weeds is getting a sequel series. A lot of people hated how the first series even had spent the last 3 years, so I don't know why that's happening. Frasier is getting a reboot, and probably 16 more by the time you hear this. That's really all that happened in the news this week that's worth noting, other than the CGI thing, which we talked about last week about CGI and actors. So is anything here worth discussing?
The thing that jumps out the most at me is Frasier. I don't know how they're going to do a reboot for Frasier, because that original show and Kelsey Grammer doing it was just, it's iconic. Everyone who watched that show loved it for every single reason of those characters. And I don't understand what they're going to do with it. Like, I hear he's involved, but how?
Well, he's going to be Frasier. It's a continuation. It's not one of those, it's not a reboot. It's a continuation.
Oh, it's a revival.
Yeah, it's a revival.
All right. Well, then, okay. You know what? We need more Frasier in our lives. Frasier had a good few.
No, we don't. I'm done.
Yeah,
I'm done with the going back to the well. Let's let things die and let's get new stuff. I'm just done with the well. I really am.
Well, I also just didn't like Frasier. Well, so I was excited till you said that he was still going to be involved in it, because then I was like, well, it's going to be the same show then, basically.
Yeah.
I was hoping for something new and fresh.
It's called Frasier. I mean, what did you...
Well, I thought they were going to cast another dude.
Like Bill Cosby's going to show up? I mean, how crazy did you think it was going to go? All right, that I would watch, because that would be wild. Yeah, diagnose yourself, man.
You know, this female-led contemporary Zorro, actually, that sounds like a lot of fun, too.
What about that do you like? And it's in a modern setting. I don't know if I said that, but yeah.
Right, well, I just said that. Contemporary set, female Zorro. That's what I said. I covered it for you.
Okay. So it's contemporary, it's modern. It's contemporary, it's right now. It's of the now, it's now.
Right. It was it later or now? Now? But it's not in the future, but it's now.
I think it's now.
Right. Oh my God!
I like that juxtaposition of swashbuckling, which is very, it's very 60s, and yet at the same time, it's also very way back in time, mixed into a setting in which is today, because it's a weird juxtaposition, and you don't really see something like that going on where somebody's running around doing sword stuff. So it just seems like it'd be very interesting, have its own little world to it, and have its own little reason to make that work versus people going, bang, you're dead.
I'm open.
I like the idea of it. The one that you mentioned that I don't like is Revenge. Not because I'm all for there being Latina representation in film and
Coño,
TV.
Coño, it doesn't sound like it.
No. Let me explain why.
Okay.
This show first premiered in 2011 and it concluded in 2015. That is barely any time. Second of all, the actress that starred in it, because there wasn't like a great conclusion to the show, the actress that starred in it is still a prominent television actress today. She is the star of The Resident. So why wouldn't we just go back to that, complete the story that we actually had, and finish it and wrap it up? If you're going to try to do a reboot or a revival or anything like that, I still think you should have some time for a reboot between then. We're talking 4 years, five when they release it, more than likely.
I mean, didn't they wrap it up the first time?
Not very well.
I have no idea.
I'm just saying I would like them to take the main actress back if they're going to try to do something new with the show, because it hasn't been that long.
Would you want her to come back and then just have a Latina accent?
No. It's just because of the timing of the show. Like, the show just ended in 2015. I'm going to punch both of you in the face.
And that, my friends, is how we segue to Disney Plus.
That's a terrible segue.
I like it. All right, so Disney Plus has officially launched. It's very early. It's out there. I know it had some technical glitches. I don't think anyone's really surprised about that, but it seems to be smoothing itself out. But what are your thoughts on it so far? Like, do you like the look of it? Let's start with the look. Do you like the dashboard? Is it smooth? Is it easy to find things?
Oh, you mean Netflix's dashboard? Yeah. Yeah. I mean, because they stole their pretty much their entire layout and operation.
Excuse
me. Absolutely.
It says Disney on it now, so it's different.
It's got different colors.
Yeah, I'm actually going to stand up for Disney on this one. I don't think that this layout and this dashboard is nearly as good as Netflix's. Like, Netflix still has the upper hand when it comes to dashboards.
You mean like the sleekness of Netflix?
The sleekness to it, how everything categories. Is just smoother, nicer, the categories, everything about Netflix is the sorting is so much better. Netflix still has that going for them, whereas a lot of things, this feels more like Amazon Prime-ish to me.
But the physical look of it is Netflix. The actual operation is Prime, right?
He's saying this dashboard looks like Amazon Prime's more so than Netflix's, because it's very clunky and a little busy, where I think Netflix is kind of smooth. But then again, I mean, it's had years to smooth itself out.
Right.
I do think
so has Amazon Prime, but they just don't care.
Oh, my God. That one. I hate that dashboard. I just can't stand it. You literally, their new stuff is hard to find. How is the new stuff supposed to? Why do I got to search for that? I mean, at least Netflix has 1,000 options, so I get why I gotta find some things there. But Amazon, what, you got like one show a month? Come on, it shouldn't be that hard. I do like how they have the major focuses as separate tabs at the top, you know, where you can do Star Wars or Marvel or National Geographic. I like that because those are really the pinpoints for it. So I dig that, but I'm kind of with Jen. I would put this between Netflix and Amazon, but I got through pretty easy. I could find stuff I was looking for.
Yeah, it's going to work fine, and it's Disney, so it'll catch up to something Netflix-like in no time.
I have no doubt. One thing that I did find, this is kind of interesting, because they have all the Star Wars movies, they actually have another re-edited version of the Han Solo shooting Greedo scene from Episode 4. Sorry, nerds. Episode 4. So that's completely re-edited. I don't know why they would do that again. And it looks like every time they do it, it just looks worse. So it just looks, what'd you call it?
I don't remember what I called it.
Chaotic or clunky or something like that.
It is choppy. That's what I called it.
Choppy.
It's choppy as hell, because like the shot goes off and then a big puff of explosion, and then the next thing you see is Greedo's face down on the tabletop. What? It's bad.
All right, that's enough about the dashboard. Let's talk about the actual stuff that's on it. What did you watch? I sampled a ton of stuff on this thing, but let's take it. What did you guys like that you saw?
I particularly enjoyed that they have the Disney classics that are considered out of the vault. So there are some of those old classics that I had on VHS that I can now not pay a fortune for, like Sleeping Beauty, to obtain on Blu-ray. And I can watch whenever I want.
You know what's amazing to me? Hearing people talk about all this stuff. I don't hear hardly any, aside from The Mandalorian, which we'll talk about in a second. I don't hear many people talking about the new stuff. I hear more
people. Encore was awful.
That's what is that? Kristen Bell hosting a show with Reunited?
Barely.
Okay.
I mean, she's like introducing, and I mean, I guess she's hosting it, but it's more so like this high school reunion play or musical, or team is getting back together to do the play all, or do the musical, whatever they're called, all over again as adults. So they're recreating that from their youthful selves, which is kind of an interesting concept, but it's so boring. These people, I genuinely don't have any interest to care about. Nothing in that first episode made me go, oh, I can't wait to see what happens, or what great drama here. Like, it was just boring. Why are we videotaping random people?
Okay. Well, let's move on past that. Let's get back to the point I was trying to make. The classic Disney stuff, the cartoons, the old movies, the cartoon movies, All of that stuff is what I hear everybody talking about. I don't hear a ton of people talking about the new content, which, by the way, I found pretty good for the most part, aside from, obviously, Encore. Aside from that, most of the new stuff was good. That's all I checked out. But all I've heard from other people is they're watching Gargoyles. They're watching DuckTales. They're watching... John, I think that's the first thing you did, right? You started watching old cartoons.
Yeah, I'm one of those people. The first thing I put on was some Darkwing Duck. And then that's all I had time for because I knew it was something I want to check out. But I also didn't want to have to pay attention to it because I was getting ready for work this morning. And then when I left the house, my wife was camped down on the couch with the two dogs watching old school Mickey Mouse cartoons. Like, okay, that's all. Yay, they won with that.
That's kind of great. I mean, that's great that people, like, that's comfort food for a lot of people. My mom, I talked to her and, you know, she's all excited. Verizon gives it to her for a year free. You know, you can sign up with Verizon and get a year free. And she was so ecstatic that she could watch old Mickey Mouse cartoons. And I'm just like, really? That's what you gravitate toward? I mean, that's the first thing you want to do is go check out. But I think Disney is so synonymous with our childhoods that people just want to go back and watch that comfort food that they loved as a kid.
Yeah. Well, you know, when that HBO Max comes out and all the Looney Tunes and Warner Brothers cartoons are on HBO Max, I can tell you the very first thing I'm going to be doing will be...
Watching Wile E. Coyote.
Watching Wile E. Coyote, watching Bugs Bunny, watching Daffy Duck. I'll be watching all of that like crazy.
I said, boy!
That is a really good foghorn.
Yeah, I do what I can. Well, I did check out Mandalorian. Manda, you checked out Mandalorian. John, did you check out Mandalorian?
I did not have a chance.
That is the new Star Wars show where you have the Boba Fett-like bounty hunter just going around catching people. And it is the first episode only, and they're going to release it weekly. So it's not all at once. We're not getting that binge love that we get with
Except
Netflix.
For the second one on Friday.
Yeah, well, that's not binging. That's just, that's when it, the
No, it's
cycle.
Just, it's weekly after this week.
Right. So what did you think, Amanda, of the first episode? Were you taken with this Western in space?
No. I know I'm going to be in the minority for this, and I truly understand that, and I fully grasp that this may be something where I, quote-unquote, just don't get it, but I think it looks visually great. There was one character who's obviously CGI, and their voice doesn't match up to their lips, and that bothered me, but I moved past that. The first, like, 15 minutes just felt like a lot of slow pace, walking around. I don't care about that. I don't need you to build story by, like, going to different places and not saying anything.
What are you talking about? The first 15, like, it starts action-packed, and the first 10 minutes are action.
I mean, he's walking from place to place. I just don't care about that.
After he kicks somebody's ass. So, I mean, it's not he fights a monster.
I just wasn't engaged in that. I don't know. It was boring to me. Like, I understand there's stuff going on screen, but it was boring.
Okay.
And then it finally picked up towards the end of the episode. And you said something that already identifies why, and I hadn't considered that, why it might just not appeal to me. And it's because it's more Western and it has the format and structure of Western. And we all know that just has never been something that I identify with. It's one of the few film genres that I just can't get myself to enjoy no matter how hard I try. So it could be that, but it genuinely, like, I thought it looked great. I didn't mind the Mandalorian and the voice and the look and thought he was kind of sleek and everything. I can see why people would enjoy it. It's just boring to me.
Okay. Well, that's two that Manda just drank the Haterade.
No, I wanted to like it. I woke up early so I could watch it. I was on there before 5 o'clock, getting everything set up and watching it by 5.
I've seen nothing but rave reviews, so I'm thinking this is just not for you.
There's a lot of, I've seen a lot of people who just didn't like it.
I'm sure if you look hard
enough. I'm not alone, but definitely more people. No, they're in the whole group.
Just kidding.
But there's more people who do like it, and it's probably, which is one great thing that it works to, is that it is something that's more new, and it's not a regurgitated Star Wars story, which is great. So that's a positive thing of the show that they have going for them.
I found it absolutely not great. I didn't find it great. I won't put it in the great category, but an absolutely entertaining and thoroughly Star Warsian adventure for that first hour. And it made me really psyched to see what comes next. Pedro Pascal as the Mandalorian was great. The only thing really stood out to me as what's going on is how do you see in that helmet? Because it has just like this weird design. I'm trying to figure out, like, even if you could see out of it, you couldn't see out of it. So I don't understand how he sees anything. But this whole, there's so much walking around. I just can't understand that as an argument, because literally the first 15 minutes are him going, picking up a bounty, fighting things off. Then he fights a monster off. Then he flies away. I mean, it's all action for the most part. So
I don't feel like it's action to me. So,
but very exciting, interesting introduction to a whole new world in Star Wars that we don't normally see. I feel like that's what we should have had more of instead of Solo, because this is an expansion. It's different. It's unique. It's not, I didn't hear Skywalker once. So, I mean, these kinds of things are all great. And the production value is insane. Just insane. It looks like a movie.
It does. It looks like it was a segment from a movie pulled out.
Yeah. Right? Like it was probably, you know, part of The Last Jedi. And you're like, just make it an episode. It's all good.
You know what I kind of feel the story pacing reminds me of, and this may speak to another reason why it just isn't the thing for me, is Rogue One. Because didn't you like Rogue One?
I liked it. I didn't love it.
Oh, because I feel like Rogue One had a lot of action going on, but it was a lot of meandering action, in my opinion. That's the way it felt to me. So I couldn't engage with it, and that's kind of how I feel this one was too. So I wonder if it's just the way, you know, that they're putting it together for me and why I'm such a minority. Because most people liked Rogue One.
Most people like this. I mean,
yeah,
I mean,
that's what I'm saying. Yeah. I know I'm in the minority.
Yeah.
I was just trying to think of another.
I don't know. You seem pretty dead set on selling this boring thing. You've come back to like three times. So I feel like.
No, it's just the. It's
don't make it four.
I was just trying to.
Don't make it four. Don't do it.
No, that's not what I was saying.
You don't want
to
do it.
I bet you she'd be all right if they tried to take the sky away from her.
Yeah.
Don't you tease me like that.
That's a Western, just so you know.
It's the only one I like.
All right. Well, I saw World According to Jeff Goldblum, which is Goldblum going full Goldblum for a half hour. And I was interested in it because I figured, oh, this is going to be one of those shows where they go and they look at, give you kind of an introspective realization of weird things. And it ended up being about sneakers. And I'd never thought in a million years I would be fascinated by the world of sneakers, but I was. And it's all because of Jeff Goldblum. So I'm really stoked for this show. And it's probably because, you know, I think, John, you talked about some show on Netflix not too long ago where it was like this, where it took some specific item and it kind of looked at the history and looked at the world behind the item. I don't remember what the show was. And it sounds a lot.
I'm having trouble remembering what the show was.
Maybe it was Brian. Someone was telling me about this. And it sounded like a fascinating show, but I always get bored if you don't have an interesting narrator, if you don't have an interesting host. And I tried to watch whatever that show was. I can't remember the name of it. And it bored me silly. This has Jeff Goldblum, and I find him endlessly quirky and fascinating, and he's just fun to watch. So the whole time, I'm just like, I never knew. I wanted to know so much about sneakers. And I'm in. I'm just sold. I just think it's a fun series and something different that I never knew I needed in my life, but I do. Anybody else watch anything else new or just me?
Yeah, unfortunately, I didn't get a chance to dig into anything new. Again, I for me, it was get it loaded up, watch some Darkwing Duck while I was getting ready for work, and then that was it. And then I was at work all day, and though I can get away with a lot while I'm at work, I don't know if I can get away with that.
Just watching random TV shows. That'd be great. They have.
All right, I'm lying. I actually have done that before.
Yeah, I'm sure you have. There are a lot of cool little shows that I think people should find. There's a little short called Float, which had me in tears. It's 7 minutes long, and I was crying at the end. It just made me angry that I could cry that quick. Pixar in Real Life, which is they kind of take an aspect of a Pixar movie and put it in the real world and see how it plays. And the first episode, it's very short, but they actually use a board from Inside Out, and you can pick the emotion, and then actors right there in front of these people, these random people that didn't know what was going on, they start acting out those emotions. They start having scenes play by those emotions. And it's actually a very cool concept that I thought was very fun. I got a chance to watch some of Lady and the Tramp and Noelle. Lady and the Tramp is a remake of the classic Disney cartoon, but with real dogs. That actually works a lot better than I thought it would. Seems very cute, very family friendly. Noelle is Anna Kendrick as Santa's daughter trying to save Christmas. Adorable. This is right up John's alley. This might make you like Christmas, John, is what I'm saying. So give that one a shot.
You know, we'll have to see.
We'll see how it plays out. Wild Yellowstone. Big fan of that. National Geographic had a show. It just goes through the Yellowstone Park. I'm a huge fan of Yellowstone Park. So just seeing that was just the highlight of my morning. There's a ton of stuff. The High School Musical of the series, I watched some of that. I don't have any interest in the movies, but this was actually very interesting. And it felt less like Glee and more like a real involved storytelling that I'm not used to in this particular series, I guess. So, everything on here that I saw was at least good or interesting.
You know what's cool about what they have on there, too, is they have the Disney Nature films, mm-hmm. which had before that it was just part of their Earth Days. And so it wasn't anything that anybody was going to go out there and buy, more than likely, because you would just have it for such a limited run of like a weekend or a week or something in theaters. And those are all on there, which is awesome because those are fantastic. And this actually will direct me to one of my questions on our Patreon bonus episode, so I'll save it for that. But I think this is definitely something that will be good for you to sit down with your kids on your giant 4K TV and watch those movies.
And here's a question that kind of came up to me, because the Marvel shows, Falcon and the Winter Soldier and WandaVision, they haven't released yet. They'll be coming soon. But Kevin Feige gave an interview recently where he said something interesting. What do you guys think? John, you're a huge comic book fan. Amanda, you're a fan of the movies. What do you guys think about Kevin Feige saying that the Marvel series on Disney Plus will directly connect to the movies, and therefore, if you don't watch both, you could miss something?
This is one of those things where I've had a problem with Disney Plus, and this is one of the reasons why I didn't want to sign up for Disney Plus to begin with, because the idea of having to go to a monthly pay gate to be able to enjoy the movies moving forward was something that didn't sit well for me. And frankly, if it wasn't for other things that this has for it, I would have staunchly fought against it still, just because of the implications of it. Now, but this is also something they've said before with other series. ABC's Agents Sealed was supposed to reflect deeply with the movies, and so were the Netflix shows, and so were so many other things that were supposed to reflect the movies, and yet they weren't able to pull it off for whatever reason.
I'll stop you there. Netflix shows were never supposed to connect to the movies. None of them were.
You sure?
I'm positive, 100%. They were never supposed to connect to the movies. They specifically said they weren't going to do that.
Okay. Well, at least Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was supposed
to.
There was hints of it, they also diverted strongly from the movies.
Yeah, I'm going to have to second John's thoughts here, because it just starts to create an unfair advantage to those that can afford it and sets apart those who maybe don't have the extra money for all of these. Maybe they're stuck on cable for whatever reason, don't want to add streaming services, don't have devices capable of it, whatever the reason may be. I just feel like it starts to minimize who's able to enjoy and experience the films at the theater the way that they were originally intended.
Just don't make me watch shows I don't want to watch. That's what I don't like. I don't like being forced to watch something I don't want to watch. And that's what that sounds like. Hey, you got to watch this if you want to watch that. I hate to break it to you, I had no interest in WandaVision. I don't. I'm Falcon and the Winter Soldier, I'm not even really that excited about. I'm sorry. That's great. They had their run, but I watch Captain America movies because I like Captain America. And unless he's going to pop up, I don't really have a desire to jump on those. I'm not going to say I'm not going to watch him, but I'm in no hurry. And I shouldn't have to watch those to go see whatever the latest Marvel flick is. I just shouldn't.
Man, why do I got to do homework just to go see your movie?
Yeah, I don't want to. Yeah. There's so many things to watch. And I got to tell you, there's a lot of stuff. I love Marvel. I'm not complaining about it in any way, shape, or form. But I have plenty of other stuff I want to watch besides just Marvel stuff. So I'm not going to watch all of your shows. And it's not fair. It's just not fair.
That's the stance I was taking, and I totally agree with that. It's not fair to give us homework. It's not fair to put it behind a paywall. It's just kind of crappy, and I don't know. It's just not a great way to do business.
No, definitely not. All right, well, let's move on. We'll find out more about Disney Plus as the Well, as the year goes on, I mean, people are really, really stoked about it. I've seen nothing but people posting about all the stuff they're watching on Disney Plus. But we've got a couple of reviews, and then we're going to do our holiday movie preview. All right, so let's just get into two of them. One of them is for Last Christmas, which I will say was poorly timed. Amanda, would you agree with that? Poorly timed, release-wise?
Oh, absolutely. People aren't ready for Christmas yet.
Yeah, it's a good... If this would have came out, I think, like, the first week of December, it could have played the whole holiday season, really. But...
Yep.
It came out, so we saw it. Emilia Clarke stars as Katarina, a.k.a. Kate. She's a young woman who is an absolute mess. And she's working at this all-year Christmas store. And while she's doing that, she sleeps around. She drinks too much. She's extremely selfish. And she's on her last leg at work. She's pushing it. Things start to take a turn when she meets Henry Golding's Tom. He's an optimistic delivery guy who spends his nights almost always trying to look up. He's very positive. It's a different force in her life. Kate, at that point, starts to fall for Tom, but most importantly, looking up inspires her to work on herself as well. In fact, I would say that's the most important aspect of the movie. Along the way, we also meet Kate's father, her sister, and an overbearing mother, Emma Thompson, who co-wrote the script and injects this really interesting anti-immigrant theme into the story that never really feels heavy-handed. So, Amanda, you and I both saw this, actually. This is a rom-com, technically. But one, I would say, is focused more on a woman who isn't probably perfect. She's actually the cause of all of her own problems, and it's her discovering she needs to fix it. So how did Emilia Clarke work for you?
Just as great as she always does. I mean, can she do any wrong, honestly?
Depends on the last season of Game of Thrones and where you land on that one.
So. Oh, boy. She was still great no matter where you land.
Well,
but
you know what? No, everyone gets to wear the shit hat for that one. Like, I like that last season, but everyone wants to complain about it. Everyone gets the blame for it.
Fair enough, Johnny.
Ouch.
It's real harsh. But no, she was fantastic. She is what you would imagine. You would look at her and you would imagine that she has things together just because she's a pretty girl when she does have her face together. But other times you start to actually learn about her and you start to see the way everything is crumbling around her and the way that she perceives these things. She starts to see them as all of these bad things are happening to me rather than how am I contributing to all of these bad things that are occurring around me or, you know, in my life. So she starts to take a second look at some of those things, which is something we all probably should do and don't do enough or at all for some of us.
Yeah. And the thing that I'm
feeling attacked.
The thing that really stood out to me, and I mean this sincerely, is as I'm watching the movie, Henry Golding's in it and he's charming and he's fun to watch. But as the movie goes, I was really worried. I'm like, I didn't want another romantic comedy. And it's really not about that. It really is about this woman finding her footing. And Emilia Clarke, I noticed, even though she's the mother of dragons and she, you know, did some things, the final season of Game of Thrones, which some might look down upon, the entire time she's in this movie, no matter what she's doing, and she does some pretty despicable stuff, honestly. She's not a great person for a large portion of the movie. But she never makes me stop rooting for her. And that is a hard thing to do, especially with some of the things that she does. And that's a talent that she has. You know, I keep saying I want her to be like the modern day Meg Ryan. And it turns out I don't. I just want her to be a modern day Emilia Clarke. She has a knack of making every character her own. And she is infinitely charming. Even when she's a woman that would disgust me in real life, she's infinitely charming. And I think that's quite it's just something that I find extremely rare in today's Hollywood.
Quite an accomplishment.
That's what I was going for. Quite an accomplishment. Thank you. I don't even know why I bothered with words.
I was really just fascinated watching you twist in the wind like that. I'm sitting here going, how does he not know this word?
You know what?
Achievement, accomplishment.
It's been a long night. We've had a lot of editing issues. So just breathe with me. Just come along with me. Now, I want to say, don't Google the film because it takes some interesting turns, and I'd like everybody to experience it on their own. But essentially, this is a rom-com, I would say, for people that are absolutely sick of rom-com formulas. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. It definitely has some interesting plot points that you may get spoiled on if you peruse the interwebs. So just do not do that, because part of the charm is letting those unfold.
All right. And I would say it's a holiday themed film, but it's heavily influenced by George Michael. Are you a George Michael fan?
I am. And I've been singing Last Christmas since I saw the movie. Every day I tell Alexa to play Last Christmas.
You spell it so it doesn't end up playing.
Yeah, I don't want that to start playing and then we have to pay royalties and then I get yelled at.
Good call. I like it. You know what bothered me about that is that on the soundtrack, which did come out, which has a wonderful collection of George Michael songs, because, hey, you always got to have faith, it does not have Amelia Clark's version of Last Christmas, which she does sing her own voice in the movie, and it's great, and I want it, and I can't have it.
Yeah, it's pretty fantastic. She is all around amazing. Even this role actually reminds me a lot of Me Before You, because in Me Before You, she kind of played a little bit of a, she was very sweet and charming on the surface when she needed to be, but deep down there were moments where she had despicable avenues, and yet you still wanted to root for her, and she was the person that you hoped found the man of her dreams or found herself and learned in her ways. And this is kind of similar in terms of that, but a very different story.
Yeah.
So it reminded me of that. So if you liked Me Before You, you liked her performance in that, you're going to like her in this too.
And I just want to go on and say again, the question was about George Michael, but regardless.
Oh, yeah, right.
The music is great. If you like George Michael, you're going to like that. But if $10 is the full price of admission, what's your score and how often during the movie did you smile?
$7.50 and always.
Yep, I give it $7. This is one that I was pleasantly surprised with. Paul Feig directed it. I'm always a fan of Paul Feig movies. I love Amelia Clark. But I'll be honest, I'm not a big rom-com fan, and I liked how they handled this one. It was really well done.
Don't let the bad reviews steer you away. There are some like naysayers who, I don't know, maybe they're just not ready for the holiday cheer. I don't know what it is that got them to be a little bit of a Grinch, but this is not a bad movie. And the reviews almost made me hesitant on seeing it in theaters. And I'm very sad that I even had that moment of consideration because it was worth
it. That's right. I always say, if you're excited about a movie, just go. Doesn't matter what we say or anyone else says, just go. If you're excited, go. Well, unless I said
okay.
It. You know, I know what I'm talking about. All right. So, Amanda, I saw QT8, The First Date, which is a documentary on Quentin Tarantino.
So it was originally titled 21 Years, Quentin Tarantino. QT8, The First Date is a documentary that focuses on the first 21 years of Quentin Tarantino's career and includes interviews with his frequent collaborators. It's written and directed by Tara Wood, a producer and actress known for 21 Years, Richard Linklater. So, Aaron, because you're the only one here who's seen this, and you are also one of the biggest fans of Mr. Tarantino.
That's true.
This seems to be somewhat of a cinematic analysis of his work. Is that a correct assumption?
Yeah, I mean, it goes through his career in the first eight movies, and in terms of, like, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood is not really a factor here. It's just mentioned briefly at the end. So it's really focused on the other movies, and it's taking you film by film by film that he's directed, not just the ones that he's written, but that does allude to the movies he wrote, like True Romance and Natural Born Killers. It takes you kind of through his career. It does address part of the darker moments in his career, but also primarily it focuses on celebrating his work. And I'm nearly shocked how many main actors are in this movie. I mean, Samuel L. Jackson's in here. Tim Roth, Michael Madsen tells some fantastic stories about how he didn't want to take the part because he didn't want to get killed by Tim Roth. That was his entire reason. He's like, I don't want to get killed by Tim Roth. I mean, he's just a pansy Brit. I don't want to be killed by him. And so, several other little factoids. Some of them you do know if you're a fan of Tarantino, and several that you didn't. So there's a lot of interesting stuff in here. And it's wonderful to hear the actors that have worked with this man talk about what they love about him, his approach, his dialogue, his attention to detail. And especially because, you know, when you see Tarantino in an interview, he's exhausting. We can all agree on that, right?
Fair enough.
Yes.
Okay. So to me, I keep thinking, well, yeah, I mean, they must love working with him because when the movie gets done, you know, they can look at it and they're praising because everybody's praising them. So they're just excited that they were part of that movie. But as you hear them talk and as you hear them speak, with such reverence for the man and his work ethic and his technique and his just drive and his absolute knowledge of I have a hard time believing there's anybody else making movies right now that has the film knowledge that Tarantino seems to have. And every one of them speaks to it, and they all love him. Not just for being letting him be a part of the movie, but they love him. They would drop anything to work with him. And that's what comes across glowingly throughout the movie.
So I've read reviews that this directly tackles Harvey Weinstein, considering Tarantino had a close working relationship with him and made statements in 2017 essentially stating he regretted not doing more with the information he had. Is this a prominent theme in the film, and does it overshadow the overall documentary's focus?
It's definitely not a prominent theme. And it also tackles the Tarantino incident with putting Uma Thurman behind a wheel of a car when she didn't feel comfortable. That, to me, I'll be honest, that to me was darker than the Weinstein stuff. They do touch on Harvey Weinstein and their collaborations and their relationship, but this isn't a documentary that's about that, because Tarantino's not that guy. You know, he's not doing those things. So it's focused more on Tarantino. The Uma situation does come up, and that is kind of a darker moment, because you kind of get a more detail as to what happened behind the scenes, and that was unfortunate. They've made amends, the way I understand it, in the press says, but it's an unfortunate situation that shouldn't have happened.
Well, that's good. Yeah. I was just a little worried based off the reviews that seem to all focus on that Weinstein.
Yeah, I don't get why they would. It's literally 5 minutes. I mean, they only mentioned him. They mentioned him at points because he was part of the movies. You know, he is the reason Pulp Fiction got the canvas it got and stuff like that. So as a producer, he was prominent in these movies, but you don't hear a ton about him. What was more interesting to me is that some of the main actors don't show up. Travolta never shows up. Pitt and DiCaprio, they were working on one, so I get that. And they're not really the focus. Well, DiCaprio is a big focus of Django, but Uma never shows up. So outside of that, which I really thought Uma would have shown up, but then you hear about the car thing, and you're like, oh, maybe she just didn't want to talk about that.
Yeah, that's probably fair. And that's probably what they would want to talk about, too, among other things. Maybe. So engaging the value for both diehard Tarantino fans and movie buffs, as well as those who don't know him so well, do you feel there's enough fresh content here that everyone kind of walks away having learned something new, or is it a lot of regurgitated facts?
That's an interesting question. I think there's some new. If you're a diehard fan, a lot of it's not. But you have to remember that most of his movies don't have commentary tracks, so there's not a ton of information out there about every single movie that he does. There's some, but most of it is already regurgitated, like you said. So there's definitely some good stuff in here. Now, it's a safe documentary, but it's not trying to be, you know, a hard-hitting news report of Tarantino. It's just celebrating the works as they were created in the order they were created. And, man, it's a really interesting documentary. If you're a fan, I would give this 750 out of 10. Because it is tailor-made for cinephiles who are fans of Tarantino. If you're not one of those, you do not want to see this.
Good to know.
All right. Our show is independently funded. Therefore, all the expenses are from our own pockets, and Patreon helps fans support their favorite podcasts. We call it Whole Plus. Now that you understand what it is, if you want to support the show, you can go to patreon.com/TheHollywoodOutsider. That's patreon.com/TheHollywoodOutsider. We should point out this is our last new show of the month. We'll have something to fill in the gaps next week, but this is our last new show of the month. There's going to be Bad Movie Night with Taking Lives, and then there's going to be a bonus episode on Patreon. So if you want some new stuff, there you go, patreon.com/TheHollywoodOutsider. All right, now it's time to get to our topic, our holiday movie preview. We are all looking at all of the major upcoming films this holiday season, from Thanksgiving through New Year's. We are not going to explain what every single movie is about in detail. I mean, that would be like a 6-hour show. The list will be on the show notes, and IMDb is your best friend. Now, keep in mind, the dates often can be switched to the last minute, especially as we get closer to the holidays. So don't blame us if something changes. Not our fault. We're only talking about wide releases. There's so many limited releases trying to qualify for Oscar season, so we're just focused mostly on wide ones, or ones that we thought were interesting as we brought these up. But we are going to tell you what each wide release is, when it's out, and what we're most excited about and what our favorite surprises could be. So we're going to take it like on two blocks. We're going to do first half of the holiday season and the second half of the holiday season. Amanda, you get to lead the first half.
I do. So coming out on November 22nd, Frozen 2, starring Kristen Bell, Jonathan Groff, and Evan Rachel Wood, Anna, Elsa, Kristoff, Olaf, and Sven lead Arendelle to travel to an ancient autumn-bound forest of an enchanted land. They set out to find the origin of Elsa's power in order to save their kingdom. Also on the 22nd, some good competition. A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood stars Tom Hanks as Mr. Rogers. A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood is based on the true story of real-life friendship between Fred Rogers and journalist Tom Junod.
I've heard it none of those ways.
None of those ways. They're both inaccurate. Mm-hmm. We also have 21 Bridges. An embattled NYPD detective is thrust into a citywide manhunt for a pair of cop killers after uncovering a massive and unexpected conspiracy, says Chadwick Boseman and J.K. Simmons.
Can I just say how disappointed I am? I really thought this would be like Jeff Bridges, Bo Bridges, and a bunch of the Bridges clan just all getting together and having a joust. I really want to joust this year.
That's weird, but okay.
Uh-huh.
So many Rooster Cogburns having a fight. That would be great.
And our last one coming out on November 22nd is Dark Waters. Mark Ruffalo leads as a corporate defense attorney takes on an environmental lawsuit against a chemical company that exposes a lengthy history of pollution. It also has Anne Hathaway. Moving to November 27th, Knives Out, the murder mystery Aaron has been waiting for. Follows Daniel Craig as the detective investigating the death of a patriarch of an eccentric, combative family. Other huge casting roles, such as Jamie Lee Curtis, Chris Evans, Toni Collette, and many more.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, that was my excited sound.
Squee! And then we have Queen and Slim. A couple's first date takes an unexpected turn when a police officer pulls them over. You might remember Slim, a.k.a. Daniel Kaluuya. Kaluuya. From Get Out.
You got it right the first time.
I did. And then I was like, maybe I'm saying that.
And then you butchered it. You're like, I'm going to go back to that and ruin it.
I was thinking, I was like, maybe I said the alcohol. Maybe I didn't. I don't know.
I'm so thirsty.
Yeah. So moving to December 6th, Playmobil the movie.
Boo.
Save your thoughts and opinions for later.
That's my thought and opinion. I have nothing more to add. Boo.
Animated feature film inspired by the Playmobil brand toys with Anya Taylor-Joy and Jim Gaffigan. We also have on the 6th of December, The Aeronauts. Pilot Amelia Wren, played by Felicity Jones, and scientist James Glasher, played by Eddie Redmayne, find themselves in an epic fight for survival while attempting to make discoveries in a gas balloon. That's my boo.
I was bummed that that wasn't the Aaron. Not. Bad joke?
So
yes?
Dumb.
No? All right. It was worth the shot.
All
I'm trying
right.
to jazz these up, man. These descriptions aren't exactly sexy. You know what I'm saying?
This is IMDb. I followed your rules. I didn't make anything crafty myself. Well, we also have Helen Hunt and I See You, and this is the final one for the first block coming out on December 6th. Strange occurrences plague a small town detective and his family as he investigates the disappearance of a young boy.
We both saw that at South by Southwest, by the way, and that was a good film.
It was good. Mm-hmm. I wondered why that sounded so familiar.
Wow.
I was like, Helen Hunt is in another movie from, like, she just did one earlier this year. Wow.
Wow, Amanda. Just wow.
I know.
Remember last week when we said you had the memory of Memento?
It's true.
Yeah, it is true. How do you write reviews? Like, I just assume you walk out and you forget what you just saw.
When I go to South by Southwest, I take notes in the dark.
Interesting. Okay.
Yep.
That works.
All right. So of all of those movies that I just went through, what stands out for you, John?
Well, because I don't want to take the wind out of Aaron's sails, because I'm sure he's got millions of things to say about it, I will go ahead and just say that I'm really excited about A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood. I want to see that. We need some good feel-good movies, and that seems like it's going to be one of them.
Can I ask a question? Did you guys all see Won't You Be My Neighbor?
Yes.
I have not yet.
Why would you not see that? If you're excited about this, why would you have not seen that masterful documentary?
Well, see, It's not because I didn't want to. It's because it just hasn't come up.
It hasn't come up.
No, it hasn't come up.
Come up where?
I mean, it could come up in your feed anytime. You just like rent it. And there you go.
In the in a world where my time is as limited as it seems to be lately, and the amount of time that I want to sit down and watch things, it just hasn't been like a good marriage of that. Because I've been like, I could watch this, Will You Be My Neighbor, and I can have a good feeling moment, or I can watch shit blow up. So I go with shit blowing up because that makes me feel better sometimes.
Okay. I mean, I can't really.
Fair enough.
Blowing up works for me.
What stands out for you, Aaron?
Oh, I'm sorry. In case you, Knives Out. That was the one I was thinking of when I'm.
That's too easy. Can you pick something else?
No, that's what I'm most excited. Oh, stands out. Queen and Slim looks cool. I like the trailer. It's very Bonnie and Clyde, and that looks like an interesting, especially around Thanksgiving. That's just a weird time to release that one. So yeah.
Yeah.
And I will say, I have really enjoyed the first Frozen. Yeah, hate me all you want. I enjoyed it. Music, not as much, but I did enjoy the movie. And I've heard that the second one is really good and it goes a lot darker. That interests me. So I got to be honest, that week, that would probably be the one I would be most interested in. So that kind of stood out to me because I was not expecting to be that interested in a Frozen sequel.
I still haven't seen the first one.
What? I'm convinced 21 Bridges is going to get pushed back again. It's been pushed back like 4 times.
Yeah, I thought it came out already.
How have you not seen Frozen? It's got Kristen Bell in it.
Well, that's the only thing that gets me excited for it. I don't care. The song really ruined it for me.
Why? Are you one of those people where because it was so popular, I can't like it anymore? I mean, it's a great song.
It was because I heard it so much. I was inundated hearing it everywhere all the time that I was like, I'm just sick of hearing this song. It wasn't even anything to be like a hipster and be like, it's too cool for me. Because I don't mind following what's going on. That's cool. I just did not. I was like, I can't handle hearing the song one more time or I might actually puncture my eardrums.
You know, I got to tell you that watching the first movie was one of my favorite movie experiences in a long time because, the movie's going on and it's great and I'm really getting into it. But then Olaf shows up and Olaf says something about bones and, you know, or a huggy to my bones break or something like that. And this little kid way behind us goes, you don't have any bones. And it was the cutest damn thing ever.
It's adorable.
Your heart was so warmed.
Yes, for about 5 seconds. And it went back to being cold as ice and hating.
Well, at least it got 3 sizes bigger that year.
Yeah, it did. I actually liked Christmas for 5 seconds.
You're weird. All right. So, by the way, Amanda, you can watch it on Disney Plus, I do believe.
Oh, yeah. I may have to do that now.
Full circle.
The movie that I'm surprised by that stands out to me that I originally wasn't excited for, because like John, Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, number one rest of the
year. I don't get it, man. Once you see like, Won't You Be My Neighbor? I don't see any reason. I get it. Tom Hanks, he's great. Da-da-da-da-da. What more are they going to add to that story that movie did not already do? Since you saw it.
So much.
No, there's nothing they can add.
You don't know because you haven't seen it yet.
There's no way I will stand on a mountain and praise this and preach it or whatever I'm going to do with it. I can't speak at all today.
Get off the mountain, sir.
No, I'm going to be on the mountain and I'm going to preach from my pulpit and say, there is nothing in that movie that will make me more emotional than Won't You Be My Neighbor already did. Because that was the real Fred Rogers. So I just, as much as I'm sure it's going to be a great movie, I have no doubt it'll probably be very good. I don't have any interest in that because I got the real thing.
Here's what I need to say back to that, Mr. Peterson.
Okay.
What's so wrong with a movie coming out, while it may not be any better than the real Fred Rogers, because nothing can top the real Fred Rogers, but another movie coming out a second year in a row to put out more kindness and reiterate the message of Mr. Rogers to children, adults, and older adults everywhere.
Boom goes the dynamite. She wins the argument. Woohoo! Moving on.
I mean, yeah, you kind of do.
Yeah. So anyway, the movie I was going to say is Dark Waters. I'm kind of interested in that.
That does look interesting.
I like the lawyer aspect to it, where we've got like this lawsuit going on about something environmental. It'll be quite the response. And it's got Mark Ruffalo.
Time out. did we just go down this tangent about Will You Be My Neighbor and A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood for no good reasons, just because you were like, well, here's my mention right here, but the movie I'm really excited about is Dark Waters. No,
I was saying the movie that I'm most excited for is Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, and I agreed with what you were saying, and I said, but a movie that stood out to me that I wasn't originally excited for is Dark Waters.
Yeah, it looks interesting.
Just a second one.
It looks interesting.
Just like I didn't let him pick Knives Out because we all knew he was excited for it. That's not fair. You have to pick one that we all didn't know you were excited for.
No one said that in the rules.
Anyway, what movie looks unworthy of a trip to the theater?
Aaron. Playmobil? The movie? Who was asking for that? Which parents were clamoring for that one to show up? Man, they are hitting the bottom of the barrel for kids' ideas. They're like, man, pretty soon they're going to just be looking at, man, what is that? Is that Kids Thumbtack? Can we make Kids Thumbtack the movie?
Is that a Simon Says?
Yeah. Oh, I could see that. Didn't they make that with Dennis Rodman? I don't know. But they could do...
They added a spork to Toy Story. I mean...
Yeah, but that has Toy Story. I mean, I could see him at this point doing Silly Putty the movie. You know, in the whole movie, they're just like taking Silly Putty and putting it on old newspapers if you can find one of those. And then, oh, look, I put it on the Silly Putty. Look, story. It's just...
Wait, if you can find the Silly Putty or find the newspaper?
Find a newspaper. They don't exist. All right.
Both are fair.
I will tell you, I would watch Slinky the movie, though.
Who wouldn't? They have a Slinky in Toy Story, though.
That's not the same. I want its own story. like, I want its journey. Oh, full I want story. The journey of the Slink.
How it got so twisted up into a Slinky?
Aww.
What made it curl inside?
What made it have the strength to be able to move on its own, even though it's just a piece of wire?
Exactly. And he's always, where are you going? You're always going somewhere, man. Just put him on some stairs. You'll see. He wants to go somewhere. Where are you leading us? That's a movie right there. Playmobil, not a movie.
Fair enough. What about you, Johnny?
I hate to say it, but Dark Waters. And it's not that, you know what? It's not that it's a movie I don't want to see. It's just that it's one that I don't feel like I need to see in the theater is more to the point, because it seems like something I would get so much more being on my couch and letting it try to teach me something, which it seems like one of those movies, which if I'm going to be taught something, I better be someplace more comfortable.
Okay.
I guess that's fair. I kind of don't care about the Aeronauts.
Well, that doesn't care about you either.
That's fair. I'm just saying, doesn't get me going. So anything extra on Netflix, Disney Plus, VOD, Hulu Original, anything during this time period that gets you excited?
Well, there's a couple of things on Netflix that I found that got me really interested in what they're delivering. So the first thing that I found that was very interesting was an animated feature called I Lost My Body. It comes out the 29th, and it's a story of a young man who's in love, and in another part of the town, a severed hand escapes from a dissection lab and determined to find his body again. It takes a weird turn. Okay. It's like Thing from the Addams Family gets his own cartoon, and then there's a boy falling in love on the other part of the cartoon. I don't understand it. I'm fascinated by that concept, and I just need to see it for some reason. And the artwork in it, and the design of the animation looks very cool to me. And the other thing that I found that I will make sure that I can stoke the fire in my heart for Christmas by watching something that's probably been sad and disturbing as Marriage Story is coming out on December 6th.
Yes, that looks really good.
It really does look good. It also will make me like feel like it's time to get papers for my wife or something, but, you know, whatever.
Okay. That took a weird turn, too. It definitely looks like an interesting movie. Marriage Story really has me interested. The hand thing... Now I'm just really curious.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, how do you not want to see a creepy hand love story? Let's do it.
Well, that's the weird thing. It's a love story, but the hand, I don't think the hand has anything to do with it.
It should. Is it a Me Too hand? What's going on?
Maybe it was the reason why Me Too started. Who knows?
Oh, boy.
Let's move on. Did you guys actually explain what Marriage Story was about, or did you just say that looks good?
Scarlett Johansson and Adam Driver are getting divorced. There you go.
Fair enough. Okay. All right. Any other movies that you guys have from streaming services?
The Irishman. November 26th is finally coming to streaming. I don't know how you don't...
27.
26th. I checked. And I don't.
I did today too.
Okay. Well,
I did three and I don't care.
It's one of those days. So that is something that people have been waiting to see, and people not necessarily wanting to venture out and spend 3.5-4 hours in a theater. So it'll be available on Netflix at the end of November.
I have another one that comes on to Lifetime. Now wait for me.
Wait for it.
It's called Christmas in Louisiana. Despite that it's on Lifetime, it still sounds interesting. Hmm. Mostly I like the cast. And it's the Winter family is Christmas royalty in Louisiana. And Sarah Winter is a successful lawyer and former Miss Christmas. And she's no exception when she returns home to celebrate the anniversary of the town's sugarcane Christmas festival, which sounds super white, with her mother, Moira Kelly, and her grandparents, Dee Wallace and Barry Bostwick. Those are like the actors,
whoa,
not the people's
really?
Names.
Really? Moira Kelly and Dee Wallace are going to be in there?
Yes. Just wait.
And Tom Atkins? And Tom Atkins? Is that what you said?
I said Dee Wallace and Barry Bostwick.
Oh, I'm sorry. I got all excited. I'm like, maybe it's going to be a Howling reunion? No. Barry Bostwick.
She rediscovers the magic of the season and a little romance with her former Mr. Christmas, Luke, played by Percy Daggs III.
Yeah, I don't care about any of that, but
who?
The earlier people were...
Moira Kelly is awesome. Yeah, Moira Kelly. I'm excited for that.
Exactly. That's pretty cool.
I reiterate. Who?
Don't, because this is going to start the drinking game, John.
Oh, right. I'm sorry. Never mind. Backing it up.
Don't do it.
There's a drinking game?
Never mind.
Yep, there is.
Yeah. And we promised our listeners that we weren't going to destroy their livers this recording.
We're not.
So
you're not allowed to say it this episode. So we're going to move on. All right. So coming out, the second half is a lot of stuff. On December 13th, Jumanji, The Next Level. Team of friends return to Jumanji to rescue one of their own, but discover that nothing is as they expect. The players need to brave parts unknown, from arid deserts to snowy mountains, in order to escape the world's most dangerous game. It's got The Rock and Kevin Hart and everybody else coming back, but also Danny DeVito and Danny Glover. So that's going to be weird. Richard Jewell, American security guard Richard Jewell, saves thousands of lives from an exploding bomb at the 1996 Olympics, but is vilified by journalists, fake news, and the press who falsely report that he was a terrorist. It's directed by Clint Eastwood. That's a true story, and it is a crazy one to hear. Black Christmas is a remake, a third remake, I believe. A group of female students are stalked by a stranger during their Christmas break. That is until the young sorority pledges discover that the killer is part of an underground college conspiracy. You had me until that, and I just, no.
Yeah, you kind of lost me there. It was the weirdest trailer.
It's just like, go watch Black Christmas, the original. That was so good.
Or even the first remake.
Yeah, one of them, just not this one. A Hidden Life. Terrence Malick directs. The Austrian-blessed Franz Jagerstatter, a conscientious objector, refuses to fight for the Nazis in World War II. I just want to reiterate, that's a Terrence Malick movie. My guess, 3.5 hours, 4 lines of dialogue. Just a guess. Code 8. In a world where people with special abilities are living in poverty, Connor Reed, who's played by Robbie Amell, is a powerful young man who is struggling to pay for his ailing mother's medical treatment. To earn money, he joins a lucrative criminal world led by Garrett, that's Stephen Arrow Amell, who works for a drug lord. That's right, the Amell cousins are together in their own movie.
Good for them.
Dun, dun, dun. On December 20th, Star Wars, The Rise of Skywalker. The surviving resistance faces the First Order once more in the final chapter of the Skywalker saga. I will say we are going to have a whole episode devoted to that closer to that after that movie releases. And I'm pretty happy that Carrie Fisher is going to get some final screen time. Next up on December 20th, going up against Star Wars, Cats. Yeah.
Blah.
A tribe of cats called the Jellicles must decide yearly which one will ascend to the Heaviside layer and come back to a new Jellicle life. I don't know what any of that means, but it all makes me giggle. Just a little bit. Just a little bit. That stars Idris Elba and Rebel Wilson and a bunch of other people. And it looks weird. I recommend the trailer if you're drunk.
Or
stoned.
Tripping.
Yeah. Bombshell, group of women decide to take on Fox News heads Roger Ailes and the toxic atmosphere he presided over at the network. It's Charlize, Nicole, and Margot. One more you need to know about that one. December 25th, Christmas Day. There are 4 Gems coming out. Little Women. Greta Gerwig remakes this for like the eighth time. This movie has had, I don't know how many remakes, but it's been a lot. Four Sisters.
Is this one in the future?
What's that?
Is this one in the future?
Is it in the future? No. No future.
No future? Damn no. it.
Four Sisters come of age in America in the aftermath of the Civil War. You could have known that if you looked it up. 1917. Two young British privates during the First World War are given an impossible mission. Deliver a message deep in enemy territory that will stop 1,600 men and one of the soldier's brothers from walking straight into a deadly trap. Oh, my God. There's a connection. So he has to get there. Otherwise, his brother's going to die. Let's forget about the 1,600 people. It's more important that he has to have a brother involved in this.
Let's up those stakes. The right? stakes aren't deep enough. His mother and sister are there, too.
Just crazy. Crazy. Spies in Disguise. When the world's best spies turn into a pigeon, he must rely on his nerdy tech officer to save the world. Will Smith and Tom Holland lead the voice cast. And lastly, Uncut Gems. A charismatic New York jeweler, played by Adam Sandler, always on the lookout for the next big score, makes a series of high-stake baits or bets that could lead to the windfall of a lifetime. Howard must perform a precarious high-wire act, balance business, family, and encroaching adversaries on all sides in his relentless pursuit of the ultimate win. Adam Sandler is getting Oscar talk for this movie, Uncut Gems. What stands out for you?
You know, you're not going to believe me, but I'm going to have to say, who or what is a Jumanji?
I'm stunned.
I am really excited for that. Out of everything you just said, for some reason, I just want more of that Jumanji world. I want more of The Rock being goofy, more of Kevin Hart being a, you know, big Kevin Hardy. And yeah, I'm excited. I want that.
I kind of have a few that stood out to me that I'm really legitimately excited for beyond the big names.
Okay.
The Bombshell, Richard Jewell, and Uncut Gems are all up there for me. They all have interesting premises. They all have good talk behind them. I mean, the casting, the directing for some of them, it's just... These are the movies that I will want to go to the movie theater for outside of the big blockbusters.
Yeah, that's the interesting thing. I mean, I would say Jumanji is a given, honestly. So is Star Wars. I mean, those are just two movies that I'm definitely...
Jumanji's not a given for everyone, though. There's a lot of people who...
I'm talking for me.
Oh, I thought you meant because John picked Jumanji. I thought you were picking on
no,
him.
No, I wasn't picking on him. Okay. I'm saying for me. I would say that those...
I mean, he does that a lot. Not right now. I know when he's picking on me. I don't need your defense.
Fair enough.
Code 8 really stuck out to me. That's just something that just sounds interesting. And yeah. I love Stephen Amell, so I will watch him. I even watched that Turtle movie just because he was in it. So, yeah, I like the guy. He's a good actor and seems like a guy that really respects his fans, and I always respect that. Richard Jewell, it's a great story, a really great story. And not great in the, well, that's a beautiful story. It's a horrible story. But it's fascinating. Maybe that's the word I should have used because it's really not a good story.
it's riveting and fascinating for sure. And I like the fact that
we
already said.
Oh, I thought I thought you guys were going to talk about like the real life situation.
Mm. No. I was just going to say that it looks like the actor who's playing Richard Jewell is somebody I don't recognize, and I like that.
Yes, it was originally supposed to be I think Matt Damon, and they went a different way.
Wow.
Of course, I could have just made that all up. I guess you'll never know.
Yeah. Maybe Matt Damon didn't want to get fat for this.
Right? He didn't want to do one of those Christian Bale moves. He wanted to gain it, lose it. You know, it's not good for you.
Well, you know, Matt Damon can't like turn into like Bourne on a dime anymore. So it's gonna it takes a lot more work for him at this point to get to lose like to put on the weight and then lose it all.
It's more like Jason.
I don't blame him.
Oh, so tired. Uncut Gems. Donut. Uncut Gems. That's the one that I'm most excited about. I just find that fascinating that Adam Sandler is getting Oscar buzz, and he hasn't had that since Punch Drunk Love. And he's an actor I already love, and I'm not ashamed of it. I love his movies. They're just like the kind of movies that make me feel good when I'm having a bad day. And it's going to be interesting to see him take on a real dramatic role and apparently do great at it.
It's not the first time he's done a real dramatic role. Spanglish was a real dramatic role.
He was good in that, but I didn't love that movie. I didn't. Did you?
I did. Yeah, I really love that movie.
All right. Teach your own. What looks unworthy of a trip to the theater? What really just says, no?
You guys, I and this is not even a joke, get physically uncomfortable when I'm forced time and time again to have to watch the trailer for Cats. I can't even imagine having to sit and watch the whole damn thing. There is nothing that anybody could possibly do to convince me to go to the movie theater to watch the whole movie. If you maybe got me belligerently drunk out of my mind where I was blacked out and I wasn't able to walk anymore, maybe you could carry me in.
Nathan Fillion's in it.
That's not going to get me there either. Have you seen the trailer?
Oh, we've seen it.
Yes, I have. I was just trying things out.
Man, that's not going to work. Seriously, I literally cringe and like, ugh, I shudder. Blah.
We can't take the Cats from you? And that's how you do a callback.
Go away.
What about you, John?
You know, we've already touched on this, but Black Christmas, that does not look good. It doesn't look like the kind of story that I want to see. That as far as Black Christmas is concerned, it doesn't have anything. I can see where they were like, you know, let's do something a little bit different from the first two movies. But you know what? If it worked the first two times, perfectly okay. Why mess with it? So I don't get it. I don't understand it. I don't know why they did it. I don't know why they had to call it Black Christmas. They could have called it anything else. So that.
Yep, I'm with you. Black Christmas crossed with the Skulls, is that one that came out years ago about the college thing? That's what it reminds me of. I don't have any interest, but really Cats is mine too. I mean, I even, because I felt like I was kind of unfairly harsh the first time I watched the trailer, so I went and watched.
You weren't.
I know, now. But I went and rewatched it later after I had gotten all the jokes I could out of it, and it is very uncomfortable. And people keep telling me, oh, it's the best play ever, and I can't wait to see it, and da 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 da. I'm like, that's good for you. Don't ever mention it to me. I don't want anything to do with it. Please don't invite me to your festive event because I will heckle the entire movie. I can feel it. I just know that I would ruin everyone's experience in that theater. I want you to enjoy the movie as you want to enjoy it, because, you know, I'm sure none of these actors signed on to anything that was going to be awful. So it might be a wonderful experience. I just haven't seen that based on what I've seen. It just seems like people creepily looking like cats, but not quite cats. They look more like people cats, pats. They're like pats. I don't know.
Why do the cats have boobs? Cats don't have people boobs, but these cats have people boobs.
The only nice thing I can say about, that's an interesting thing that you focused on. The only nice thing I can say about it is I do think, I don't remember which actor it is. I believe it's whoever the new person is, because they said introducing somebody in the trailer. That person, her move, I believe it's a her, I can't tell because cat, her movements were very fluid and very just sensual, I guess, but just very well done, very well orchestrated, and just had beautiful body movements. And I thought that was really interesting. Like, I would watch that if it was a dance routine or something, but as a whole movie, it's just hard for me not to heckle.
It sounds like if somebody invited you to go to that movie, you'd take it as a personal insult.
Yeah, I would take it as an insult. Sure. Yeah.
Also, that woman, the Francesca Hayward that you're talking about, she is an English ballerina in the Royal Ballet in London.
That explains it, because she was wonderful to watch. So. I mean, seriously, like, she, every time the trailer was playing, I'm like giggling to myself. Then she came in, I'm like, oh, she's good. She's really talented. So I wish her success. Actually, I wish them all. I hope people that like the play like the movie. But I've listened to the soundtrack because I try to see if maybe I can get it. I don't understand the appeal here. I don't.
The visual just really messes me up.
And I would spend the whole movie going, meow, meow.
You'd also get kicked out and banned from the movie theater for heckling.
And by the way, Jeff Goldblum, when he was doing his sneaker show, he says something about the word, he says the word cats and he purrs when he said it. So now I'm going to be doing that every time I say the word cat from now on. I'll be like, cats around. It's just so weird. God. So weird. All right. Any Netflix, Disney Plus, VOD, or Hulu original during the time?
Well, the only thing that really jumps out at me is Six Underground. It's supposed to be coming out December 13th, and it's a new kind of action hero. Six untraceable agents totally off the grid. They're buried past so they can change the future. This is actually directed by Michael Bay. I haven't been this excited for a Michael Bay movie since the very first Transformers, and then I learned my lesson. Stars Ryan Reynolds, Adria Arjona, Melanie Laurent, Ben Hardy, Dave Franco, so many more. I can't wait.
That looks great.
That was my pick, too. That one looks fantastic.
Well, cool. That was easy. Any other ones?
No? That's all I had for movies.
Okay.
That's all I had down to.
Little Joe on Video On Demand comes out December 6th. It just looked weird, and I like weird. It's about a plant breeder and a mother who creates a special crimson flower that holds both beauty and therapeutic value. But when she takes the plant home as a gift for her son Joe, she starts to suspect it might be a little more dangerous than it seems. Interesting. Hmm. I like unique and weird.
That sounds cute.
Yeah, no, it doesn't sound cute. I got a feeling somebody's dying horribly in that thing. Also, The Two Popes is Anthony Hopkins and Jonathan Pryce as Pope Francis is set to succeed Pope Benedict. It's going to hit Netflix December 20th. Just feels like an Oscar push kind of movie, and it's Anthony Hopkins. I'll watch anything he does, so I will check it out, even though I don't really care about the scenario at all.
Yeah, I mean, the thing itself doesn't appeal to me, but Anthony Hopkins has always kind of struck me as a pope. Like, he looks like he'd be a pope. So it works.
He'd eat the people that bowed to him?
You never know. I mean.
Ooh,
okay. So how does this season look compared to the other ones, do you think? Like, past holiday seasons?
You know, this is the very first time I can remember in a while that I wasn't super excited about everything that was coming out. I feel like the last few seasons we had several different comic book movies that are coming around around this time, and even you know, it just doesn't feel like it has the same kind of oomph as the last couple of winters. So that's where I kind of stand with that.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to agree. I'm finding that I'm more excited for some of the television that's coming out, and I don't feel like there's a really good Christmas movie that's coming out.
Sure there is. It already came out
in Christmas time. We're talking this time frame, so the
right
last Christmas movie with Emilia Clarke does not count.
Hopefully they can re-release it and people will realize it shouldn't have been released 3 weeks early. Yeah, I'm on board, because this is really one of my favorite times of the year, because I love independent films and Oscar love. I just love movies that are going for the Oscar. There's usually a lot of stuff in there that I tend to like, and I'm very diverse, you know, but Spectacle, Star Wars, Jumanji, you got me. Now I want some really interesting stuff. Stuff that's going to be going for the Oscars next year. And I don't feel like there's a whole lot here that is going to hit that nerve. There's a lot of stuff I'm not super stoked for overall. More so than there is stuff I am super stoked for. And that's uncommon for this time of year. It could be that people are pushing their movies out like they're doing. Because to qualify for Oscars, you have to drop them in a certain amount of cities by Christmas or by a certain date. And then they'll just release them in January or something. I know Just Mercy's doing that and a couple other ones. And they're trying to get away from Star Wars possibly. But I just feel like there should be more to get excited about here. Not that I'm not excited, just should be more. All right, so what are your top three animated movies overall from all outlets? You can include Netflix, whatever.
You mean anticipated.
What did I say?
You said
I'm sorry. You
animated. Said animated.
Did I say animated? Well, you know what? Let's get creative. Make it your top three animated movies. I need to go back to bed. There's a problem with me this week. I have a hard time with words. I feel like John.
Right? My top three. Going to go with Knives Out, Six Underground, and Jumanji.
Do you have to say it Danny DeVito way every time?
Yep. I had to say it like that. It makes me laugh every time I hear him say it.
I love the idea of The Rock being Danny DeVito.
Right?
Just and Smolder. I can't wait to rewatch the first one. I haven't seen it in so long. Amanda, what about you? Oh, wait, it's my turn. Sorry. Number three, Uncut Gems. I really, really am excited for that one. Number two, Star Wars, Rise of Skywalker. And number one, Knives Out. Yes, over Star Wars, because I love murder mystery.
So I am equally, well, not even, I can't even say equally excited for Knives Out, but I'm very excited for Knives Out. A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood is my number one. And then for my third spot, it was a little tough to pick one, but I think I'm going to go with Bombshell.
All right. A lot of good movies. Not enough, though. I really feel like there should be more.
I really feel like we should have got more spaces for our most anticipated.
Something. I will say that Six Underground, by the way, probably would be number four. I do think that looks really cool. It's Michael Bay, man. I'm just, it's going to be weird to have a Michael Bay movie that I can't see in a theater. And I would rather see this one in a theater.
I could agree with that. His explosive films are perfect for the movie theater.
Right. My surround sound isn't going to get that loud. I mean, it'll get loud, but it's not Michael Bay loud. I need Michael Bay loud.
I need my seat to shake physically.
I need people that are sitting.
Move the subwoofer.
There you go. Get a good subwoofer.
Sit on
it. I want people that are sitting in cats to get scared when they hear the explosions from 600.
Could you imagine all of a sudden they hear explosions?
I love it. Do that. All right. Prediction for biggest surprise, as in this movie wasn't even on your radar and now you're pumped. Biggest surprise.
I'm very excited for Code 8, actually. Had no idea about it until Stephen Amell tweeted about it. And I was like, huh, interesting.
All right. That's a good pick. Richard Jewell is mine. I didn't know anything about the movie. Clint Eastwood is a director whose work always intrigues me. And this is a story I already knew well. And it's, like I said, horrible, but also great. It's a weird combination in many ways. I didn't know it was being made until the trailer came out. And now I'm very excited for it, but it wasn't on my radar. I usually know everything Eastwood's working on. I had no idea about this movie.
I'm going to go ahead and say that it was Code 8 for me as well. And not necessarily for Stephen. Yeah, Stephen Amell is great, but lately Robbie Amell has been getting better and better. So he's not so cardboardish lately, and he's been showing a lot more personality. I'm really excited to see him do something else now.
All right, guys. Well, that's it for movies, but anything else coming up over the holiday season you want to mention in TV, books? I don't care. Whatever.
Lost in Space Season 2!
I think you almost blew up my speaker with that one. Nice job.
I have four television things coming out.
Jesus, Amanda. Let's make it quick.
I know. So on Netflix on November 27th, Broken, which is a docuseries. It's an investigative docuseries show how negligence and deceit in the production and marketing of popular consumer items can result in dire outcomes. Just sounds interesting. On December 5th, V-Wars is on Netflix. Ian Somerhalder and Adrian Holm star in this thriller vampire series about a doctor who transforms his best friend into a blood-sucking vampire.
Oh, good. Ian Somerhalder's in a vampire show. That's new.
Yep.
I mean, nobody wants to hire him for anything else.
Harsh. Real harsh. Accurate. Okay.
Prove me wrong.
Back it up. Obviously, we have The Witcher on December 20th, and then the most excited I am for probably most properties that are coming out between now and the end of the year is You Season 2. Adapting the second book, we will follow Joe travel across the U.S. for his next victim and hopefully get answers to the huge cliffhanger that was left at the end of Season 1.
My God.
Hey, I'm excited. And aside from Penn Badgley's Joe, we have Victoria Pedretti, who you might remember as Eleanor Crane from Haunting of Hill House.
Yeah.
So I'm real excited.
Yeah, that's not enough to get me to watch that show.
Shh, you're wrong.
Wait,
you're
did
missing.
You not see the first season?
Nope.
You're missing out.
I'll just keep missing out then. If it would have been one and done, I would definitely watch it. But he's just going to keep on. He's just every season.
It's based on a book.
I don't care.
There's more than one
every
book.
Every season he's going to stalk a new person. That's what we're doing. All right. Cool.
There's more to it.
There's a lot more to it.
I'm sure there is. I've heard nobody. Everybody loves this show. Everybody loves this show. I watched the trailer. I watched 10 minutes of the first episode, and I just said I noped right out of there. Just noped right out of the gate. It's just not for me. That's all.
Yeah, you're missing out. It's okay.
No, I think I'm good. You know what I'm going to do? Instead of watching you, I'm going to go watch some cool Disney stuff. That's what I'm going to do. Maybe The Mandalorian. I'll watch some more Jeff Goldblum. I'll learn some things.
Do you really think that you're going to have all of this stuff left by December 26th to watch?
He'll just watch it again.
Yeah.
He'll just be like, I'm going to watch it again.
I didn't get everything I could have gotten from Goldblum the first time, so I got to go back and rewatch it. Yeah. I think I'll be fine.
Okay.
All good in the hood. All right, guys. Well, I should tell you, we are off for 2 weeks, so hope that all of you that celebrate Thanksgiving have a wonderful holiday. We will have something to fill in the time, an episode or two of other origins, but we will not be here for 2 weeks. We'll be back in early December with our holiday special, so that'll be fun. And in the meantime, I hope you guys have a wonderful holiday. Anything you want to say to everybody for holidays stuff?
Happy Turkey Day!
Yeah, I mean, what else can I say?
You're such a bundle of energy, John. You just... You just liven the world up.
Well, you know, I can sit here and tell you how I'm so excited to actually have that week off of work, because I really do love Thanksgiving, and it's like my holiday. So I spent the whole week doing nothing but bacon pies and cakes and getting my house ready for Christmas at the same time. And like, I turn into Betty Crocker with awesome legs and arms and chest and all that other stuff. So if I have to say so myself, and I will multiple times over. But yeah, I really can't wait for that holiday. Okay.
Can I plug something real quick? And it's not like a podcasty thing.
Okay.
So on behalf of the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, before in the next few weeks, we're going to be collecting from my area letters to send to military members who have been deployed and also those who are stationed stateside. So if you want to have yours from wherever you are, I have a PO box that you can send those to, and then we'll put those into a grouping. Please note that there cannot be any religious or political commentary. This is supposed to be a letters of support and to help them get through the holidays. And so if you want to contribute, you can mail your letter and we'll get that sent off in a collection to the local VA here.
What do they write? They just write to a random soldier?
Yeah, I mean, you can just fill them in on like what's going on in your area, talk to them about anything in the sports. I mean, anything going on in television and movies, anything to make them feel connected still, because they're kind of separated, and also thank them for what they're doing and just kind of create some sort of a connection to them. Just almost like you're writing a letter to a pen pal. I mean, you can't expect them to write back because it's not a pen pal service. But it is a way for those military members to kind of feel that local community support, and it could be from anybody in the world who wants to send a letter.
Check the show notes. The address will be there if you want to send a letter, and we'll move on from there. We are off for 2 weeks once again, but you can comment on this episode on our Facebook group or on Twitter at BuyPopcorn or our site, TheHollywoodOutsider.com. Subscribe and review us in your favorite app. And you can find John's artwork on Insta and everywhere else at RJohnDraws, Amanda on Smirk and Veronica's Marshmallows, and me and my other podcast, Presenting Hitchcock and The Blacklist Exposed. And remember, the next time you go to the theater, which you better do this holiday season, or else the movie theaters go away. Buy popcorn. That's what I keep hearing. They're going to go away. Got to be prepared.
I mean, hearing from where?
The internet.
The internet is always
I want to see the receipts.
Ha ha ha.